came to the house of the Lord here today. Yeah, well, it's so good to see you. Praise God. I tell you what, Sunday's the best day of the week because we have a risen Savior. Amen. Aren't you glad for what Jesus has done for our lives? I'll tell you what, Jesus, one of my favorite verses, if not my favorite verse in the Bible, is John 15:5. Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branch. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Meaning also you could say this, but in him we can do everything. Yeah. Doesn't that what the Bible says in Philippians 4:13? Yeah. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Right. Amen. So amen. He's the vine, we're the branches. That means we get to be the fruit-bearing part of the tree. And we bear fruit and he receives glory. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Well, praise God. Look at the Bills game was not more important than God to you here today. If you're not aware, the Bills are playing in London right now, in England, which I say good. It felt good. I wonder what felt good about this morning. I noticed they're not on our soil here in America, so it was a good thing. Praise the Lord. I'm kidding. Amen. We just, again, we want to welcome a first-time guest to Family Church. If you're visiting for the first time, we're just so honored that you would be with us here today. We know that God's got an awesome plan for your life. He tells us over there, and we quote it every week, Jeremiah 29:11. I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans not to harm you, but to prosper you, to give you hope and a future. God has a good plan for our life. That doesn't mean that you'll never be tested or you'll never see trials in life, but God's plan, he's always got something better for us than the world could ever give to us. Praise the Lord. For those of you that are visiting, my name is Pastor Tim Stallman. I'm the senior pastor here. And again, we just welcome you. You know, our goal at Family Church is just real simple. Just put the Bible first. You know, we don't have any gimmicks here. You know, we're not giving out any TVs or season tickets to a sports team. Definitely not the Buffalo Bills. Folks, if you're new with us, you know I joke about the Bills. I am in my heart, they're just, I grew up on the Buffalo Bills and they've just disgruntled me over the past 15 years. Some of you weren't even alive the last time they were in the playoffs, but glory to God. But anyway, we don't give away anything, you know, we just give away what is the most blessed thing on this earth, and that is the Word of God, and it changes our life. You know, as a pastor, I'm not going to, you know, call you every week or hunt you down or hound you about being here. It's an honor to be in the house of the Lord. And I'll tell you what, if you're visiting our church and you need a church home, we'd love to be your church family. Praise the Lord. We do have dynamic youth ministries and children's ministries and so on. And your family would be greatly blessed to be here. But if you're visiting from another church, you know, and you aren't looking for a church, well, we welcome you, but we, of course, encourage you. Now, of course, there's times when it's appropriate where you need to look for a church or whatever. But we just, we believe that God sets the members in the body as it pleases him. Amen. And we need to be in that place where God has called us to be. Praise the Lord. And if it's here, glory to God. If not, that's something that God will speak to you about. Praise the Lord. So we just let God do the talking here. Amen. Are you ready for the Word of God? Praise the Lord. Go with me to Romans chapter 5. I'll tell you what, I'm just so glad to be here with you today. I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord. We're gathered here in the name of Jesus. I'll tell you, if the Word of God can't make you happy, then nothing can make you happy. Listen, you know, sometimes everyone's trying to live, you know, let their joy be found in the weather or some external thing. I'll tell you what, you can't live that way. You can't let your joy be dictated by circumstances. You know, some of us came in here today with a down countenance. Well, I tell you what, if your countenance doesn't change by the end of this service, then we haven't done our job, right? Because I'll tell you what, we're going to talk about today living in the favor of God. And I'll tell you what, you know, sometimes people are saying, I'm just waiting for God to make me happy. Well, how about this? Just go ahead, put your joy in him. Invest some joy in his direction and watch the power of God come towards you. You know, I'll tell you what, sadness is not of God. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. Amen. Go to Romans chapter 5, and maybe you're visiting our church. You say, oh my goodness, there's all this response, and there's people shouting and lifting hands. You know, I remember when I came to this church, and that certainly wasn't, of course, I'm talking about the church in Fredonia before this church was established, but our founding church in Fredonia, and my tradition did not really abide the lifting of hands and the praising, and that always just, in my natural mind, it really wigged me out. And we have had several people that have asked us, you know, why all the responding? Why all the shouting, the praising, and the lifting of hands and things? Well, it's real. The answer to that is real simple. It's in the Word. God didn't put anything in His Bible to hurt you. He put it in there to bless your life. You say, well, where is that in the Bible? Well, first of all, it's all over the place. But since you asked, how about Psalm 134, verse 2, lift your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The lifting of hands doesn't bless you as much as it blesses God, right? How about Psalm 63, verse 3 through 5? It says, because His loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise Thee. My lips will praise Thee. Aren't you glad? You know, people say, well, I'm part of the silent majority. No, that's not how God works. God wants us to participate with Him and give Him praise. The Bible says in Hebrews 13, 15, because of what Jesus did for us, therefore let us bring the sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name, right? If Jesus did something good for you, well, then we are to respond vocally. Amen. Notice it's called the sacrifice of praise. Sacrifice means that it hurts or you give something up, right? When you sacrifice something, you know, that means that there's nothing in your natural self that's going to want to do that. You're going to sit there and you're going to hear that, and your skin and your flesh and your mind is going to crawl at the thought of actually stepping out on a limb. I remember when I was there the first time. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Lord, I give You glory. And hey, maybe that's just where you're at and God will meet you there. But there comes a time when you say, you know what, I'm going to shrug off the insecurities of the flesh, and I'm not going to worry about what people think around me. I'm going to meet with God as if I'm here by myself with Him. Amen. Yeah, praise the Lord. So if you wonder why we are that way, it's because the Bible's that way. And of course, you know, we don't subtract anything from Genesis to Revelation. You know, there's some things that make certain Christians uncomfortable in the Word, but we have to accept it all. Amen. Praise the Lord. Have you found Romans chapter 5? Glory to God. Today we're going to talk about living in the favor of God. I'll tell you, this is the essence of faith. Knowing who you are in Christ, knowing God's love for you, having a relationship with God the Father. And if you're here and you feel as if you have totally missed it with God, and maybe, you know, things just haven't turned out the way that makes you happy, or you feeling discouraged, or you've gone through a trial or whatever, let me just remind you, if you are a Christian, you are in God's favor.
Amen.
And God's favor has not left you. It has not gone anywhere. And I'll tell you what, God's favor is more than enough to turn whatever situation around you're facing. God's favor can turn a marriage around. God's favor can turn your employment situation around. God's favor can turn your situation with your child, your children. It can turn a financial situation. It can turn a physical, you know, ailment around. I'll tell you what, God's favor can turn a mental depression or mental disorder. It can turn it around. Listen, you are in the favor of God. You say, well, I sure don't feel like I'm in God's favor. Well, let me tell you what, you are. If you are in Christ Jesus, if you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you have this place with Him called His favor.
Amen.
All right? Now let's read in Romans 5. We might as well just start there in verse 1. Romans 5, 1 and 2. I'm going to read out of the King James, and then I'm going to move to the Amplified Bible, which is a little bit more modern translation. It's a scholarly translation that gives us a look at the original Greek and so on. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, that's what you are. You are justified in the eyes of God by faith.
Amen.
And some people say, you know, might not really know or understand what that means. That means that God does not look upon you as being inferior anymore.
That's right.
You are justified. meaning to explain yourself before him. Jesus came and did that for you.
Yes.
I'm so glad you are justified in his sight. By faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, God made a peace treaty with mankind when he gave his son. You know, and if you are a Christian, the Bible says that you're at peace with God.
Yes.
Listen, just be refreshed to know God's not mad at you anymore. Some Christians live their whole life as if God the Father is mad at them all the time. Listen, you're going to go through many feelings in this Christian life that you're not enough or you haven't done enough. Listen, you'll never be enough on your own. But God sent Jesus and he is more than enough for us. Praise the Lord. He justified you through Jesus, made peace with you. God's not mad at you. You're not at war with God. He's not your opposition. You know, people have this idea, you know, and be careful of some of the Christian modern music that you hear out there. You know, talk about how God's, you know, the builder, the wrecking ball. He builds you up. He knocks you down. He just pushes you around when he feels like it. No, that's not true. God's at peace. I quote this verse almost every week, Luke 2:14. When Jesus came to this earth in the form of that baby in the manger, the angels announced and said, peace on earth, goodwill towards all men. God only has goodwill and intentions for your life.
Yes.
Now, does that mean, of course, Satan, your adversary, does not.
Right.
This earth, that is the majority of this earth, is apart from God. We know that they don't have a good plan for you.
Right.
And you'll be tested, and there's plenty of things on this earth and the devil himself to test you, but God is not your opposition.
Right.
Amen. He is at peace with you. Now, verse 2 is what I want to get to. By whom, meaning by Jesus, also, we have access. Access granted.
Yeah.
Not denied. Access granted. The word access means an invitation to come on in.
Amen.
You've been invited in. You say, well, invited into what? I'll share it with you. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. I want to bring up the Amplified version of verse 2 because it really brings this out.
Amen.
Did you bring your shouting clothes here with you today? Amen. Bring this up in the Amplified Bible. Through him or through Jesus. This is what we have.
Yeah.
Because of Christ.
Yeah.
See, this is what it is. You got to know what you have.
Yeah.
Know who you are.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, you got to walk out of church knowing what you have because you're going to need to use it outside of these walls. Yep, through him also. How many of you know we quote over there 2 Timothy 3:1? It says, in the last times, perilous times shall come.
That's right.
Perilous times shall come.
Yeah.
And it, soft or weak doctrine is not going to get you through these perilous times. These times, the people that are going to make it in these days are going to be people who know who they are. They're not just randomly following some Hallmark Christianity. They're not just bouncing through some kind of religion. No, they are pursuing. They are urgent with the things of God. Through Jesus, we have our access, our entrance, our introduction by faith into this grace. And now this is the definition of grace, the state of God's favor. The state of God's favor.
Amen.
The state of God's favor. All right. How many of you know politically in our nation we have many different states? And you can move from state to state, and every state has different laws or different regulations. And there are certain states that are more friendly about certain things than others. You know, I mean, whether it's hunting laws or, I mean, a whole, some states have a better speed limit. Woo-wee, when I was out in Colorado,
yeah.
Speed limit 75.
Nice.
And some places out there in the West, it has no speed limit. I like that.
Yeah.
And 75 means you could really do like 90.
Yeah.
Because that's what everyone's going. Everyone's flying. You know, and you know you're in a different state. And when I see that 75 speed limit sign, I think, oh, that is grace and favor right there. Because you know something has changed. Yes. You've moved into a different state that governs things differently.
Right.
When you accepted Jesus Christ, you stepped over a line and you moved into a state. It is a state of God's favor.
Glory.
Hallelujah. The state of his favor in which we firmly and safely stand. Let us rejoice, not sit there like bumps on the log. Trust me, Pastor, I'm rejoicing. Just you can't see it. Well, you know, you could get your definition of rejoicing. What is it over there? 1 Peter 1, right around the 8th and 9th verse says, rejoicing with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Just sitting there, oh, I'm rejoicing, full of glory, full of joy unspeakable. No, there's going to be a response. Because isn't it funny? I mean, talking about football, you know, I don't know who the Bills are playing, but that other team is probably going to score a lot of points today. I think they're playing the Jacksonville Jaguars. And when the Jacksonville Jaguars score a lot of points, if there's any Jacksonville Jaguars fans there, you know, what are they all going to do? They're all going to jump up and rejoice. Back in the day, I used to go to 4 or 5 Bills games a year, you know, up there at in Buffalo. And, I mean, here you have 80,000 people crammed into that place, all dressed in their red, white, and blue, the color of their team's uniforms, right? And when a 12-inch piece of leather passes over a painted line on AstroTurf, 80,000 people all become best friends. They all jump, and you're high-fiving people you don't even know. People are hugging you. You're hugging them.
Yeah.
I mean, it is like the greatest kumbaya session.
Yeah.
Why? Because they rejoice.
Yes.
They love one another because they're like-minded and one accord about something as simple as some millionaire carrying a ball over a goal line. How much more should we be in one place, one accord? How much more should we rejoice? How much more? I mean, I'll tell you what, it is unfortunate when the world celebrates football more than we celebrate redemption. Because what are they doing? They're rejoicing. They even have a little praise and worship song up there. And the Bills score. The Bills make me want them. Come on. Now when I hear, I'm like, oh, please.
Yeah.
And of course, you know I'm being sarcastic. I do like to watch football. There's nothing, you know, wrong with enjoying a football game. I'm just very sarcastic and harsh on the Bills because they've let me down for so long.
Yeah.
To the point where I'll even root for the Patriots if I have to. Yep, you heard it. But I will not root for the Pittsburgh Steelers. That day will never come. I'm waking you up a little bit here today, right? Why? Because what happens there, all of a sudden everybody in that place, you all enter into this place of favor.
Right.
They're rejoicing over something so small. How much more should we be rejoicing in the fact that we've entered into God's favor? He said, come on with me. Come over that line. Move out of darkness. Come into light. Yeah, praise the Lord. Come out of sin and come into my favor. And now firmly stand here. And now rejoice about it and exalt in our hope of experiencing and enjoying the glory of God. See, that's what I want here at Family Church. I want to experience God's glory. I don't want to just talk about it. I don't want to have ho-hum, dry, old-time religion. Right? We want to rejoice and experience and enjoy. Notice you can enjoy God's glory. You should enjoy this time in relationship with the Lord. Amen. But this is what I want to show you. If you've made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, is there anybody in here that has? Is there anybody? Yep. What does it say? You have entered into, because of your faith in Christ, you've entered into God's favor. Listen, God's favor isn't what you're trying to get. God's favor is what you already have. God's favor isn't what you're going to become when you go to heaven. God's favor is what you are now if you've made Jesus your Lord and Savior. You are in His favor. Are you ready for some definitions of that word favor? The word favor, it means loved. Right? We have a saying around here at Family Church, right? We're highly loved, highly blessed, highly favored, right? Because we are loved and favored. And that doesn't mean Family Churches, you know, only. That means anyone who's born again. Anyone that's made Jesus the Lord of their life. It means loved. It means this, unmerited blessing. Meaning what you did not earn. He gave it to you anyway. It wasn't your idea to put Jesus on the cross, by the way. Stop acting like it was. It wasn't. It was His idea to redeem you. He gave you an unmerited blessing. He moved you into this state of giving you more than you deserve. Oh, God is good. God is good. God is good. Now, if you think, oh, my goodness, this church just preaches flowery messages, hang around. Give it a couple weeks. And even this message, there's the other side of it. You know, and we'll talk about that. We'll get into that. Praise the Lord. So favor isn't something we're trying to get. It is what we have now by virtue of the new birth.
That's right.
You were born into God's favor. Yes. Much like your child, when your children were born, right? They were born into your favor.
Yes.
And I'll tell you what, parents, you know and you understand what that is like. If you've ever seen a class picture of your kids, you know, class at school or whatever, maybe the entire grade or the entire school, what do you start doing? When you see a picture and you know your child is in it, you skip over every face just to find theirs. That's what you do. You go looking for your child. If your child plays on a sports team and let's say their number is number 12 on their jersey or whatever, guess what you're searching for the entire time? You're looking for number 12. You're watching your child more than any of the others. Yep. Why? Because that's favor. Yeah. You're just looking for your intent. You're searching to see your child, right? The word favor here also means grace. It also means this, favorite. Say, well, God plays favorites. Yes, He sure does. Now, He's not a respecter of persons. But there is something different about the born-again Christian than the one who is not born again. Now, the unsaved are invited into this. There's no rules at the door except Jesus is your Lord and Savior. Turn from sin and God will move them into His favor as well. But you are different from the world. The world's troubles aren't your troubles. You know, the world's depression and anxiety is not your depression and anxiety. The world's economy is not your economy. Some of you got the white knuckle ride going on. Oh, you're just holding on to the seat in front of you. Listen, get a hold of this. It'll change your life. When you start understanding, listen, why? Because when you understand that you're in God's favor, you will have no hindrance about approaching Him. Because when you understand that you have favor, you have confidence when you ask Him. You say, wait a minute, I'm His child. He's not going to turn me away. And He's not going to say no if you ask according to His will. He has to have a promise first. If you know what His promises are and then you ask Him to fulfill His promise, He will never say no.
That's right. Amen.
He will never say no. Why? Because you're His favorite.
Yes.
God has the ability of taking 1 billion of His children and giving them a relationship where each and every one of them can feel as if they are His personal favorite. Because I am God's favorite. That was good. Some of you all said, oh no, I'm His favorite. That's absolutely right. I wasn't saying that in pride, but that's the attitude that every believer should have. Yep. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Amen. If there is one promise that He would fulfill, He's going to fulfill it for me. Why? Because I'm in His favor. I'm loved and I have His unmerited blessing. Grace, favorite. The word favor also means preferred or preference. God has a preference. It's called His children. Yeah. The word favor means never overlooked.
Yeah, that's good.
Just like your child, you won't overlook your child in the class picture. You won't do it. You won't overlook them. The word favor means moved to the front. Aren't you glad? Well, I know I'm making some of you happy. You know, I don't know where you got this idea that Christianity was sad. I'll tell you, it's a victorious life. And again, it doesn't mean it's unchallenged. I've had people say that. Say, you just preaching something and my life got challenged and stuff. Listen, no one is here saying that your life won't be challenged. We're telling you the way of how to overcome those challenges. Listen, because the favor of God is the reason why I know my needs are going to be met. The favor of God is why I know that He is going to show up and perform His healing in my body. I know why His favor, you know, and the knowledge of that is going to renew my mind and deport depression out of my life. So I'm in His favor. Right. That favor is so good. I don't need alcohol anymore to make myself feel better. What? Yeah. I don't need alcohol to do that. You say, well, what do you know about that? Well, I have to say all the time because people don't understand. I was an alcoholic before I knew Jesus. And let me tell you what, His favor will fill you better. Say, well, I haven't had a drink since January 18th, 2003. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And I'll tell you what, there's nothing that will bring to you that confidence to face life. Listen, alcohol can't bring it to you. Dope can't bring it to you. Nothing can bring it to you like a knowledge of God's favor. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Move to the front. The word favor also means to be noticed. Meaning God isn't going to miss you. Meaning He's not going to overlook you. And I guess we've already said that. Now let's talk about what favor will do for the child of God. The favor of God and what it will do. Before we go with me to Genesis chapter 6. Before we do, I want to go over... You don't need to turn there. We'll bring it up on the screen, and you'll notice that we always have our scriptures up here because, again, this isn't about my opinion. If I start preaching my opinions, leave this church. Don't ever stay in a church where it's just the opinions of man. Yeah, that's right. Praise the Lord. It's not just because they have a pulpit and just because they're a pastor. You know, if they're not preaching scripture, then it's time to go. But if you are preaching scripture and just because you get your toes stepped on, that doesn't mean, you know, you leave. The Bible says that the end days are going to be filled with people with itching ears seeking a teacher to please them. You won't find it here. Though this message is very kind today, you just give it 10 minutes. Praise the Lord. Can you bring up Psalm chapter 5, verse 11 and 12? Let's start with verse 11. You can bring it up in the King James. Psalm 5, 11, just so you see this in the Word. Glory to God. But let all those that put their trust in Thee rejoice. Let them ever sit there and be quiet and not be noticed. Oh, wait. Let them ever shout for joy. Because God defends them. Remember that. God defends us. Let them also that love the name of God be joyful in Thee. See, that's a picture of church. Shouting, joy. If you don't like it, I'm telling you, you're going to struggle with heaven. Yeah. You're going to struggle. You're going to see people running, dancing, jumping, praising. And then there's also going to be times when the Bible says, be still and know God. It's all about, you know, you got to know the leading of the Spirit. Now look at verse 12. It says, for Thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. Can you bring that up in the Amplified, please? For you, Lord, will bless the uncompromisingly righteous. There's the other side of it. The favor of God does not work for those that want to have Jesus and have their sin too. So there's the other side of it. Ouch. See, I told you 10 minutes. It was more like a minute and a half. The uncompromisingly righteous, him who is upright and in right standing with God, as with a shield, you will surround him with goodwill, pleasure, and favor. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And now, so now we see that God surrounds his child, surrounds him, like a shield.
Yes.
All right? So favor is something, it's part of God's defense around our life. But notice it only works for the uncompromisingly righteous. Can't be cheating on your taxes and expect the favor of God. Can't be cheating on your spouse and expect the favor of God. Can't be looking at pornography and expect the favor of God to work. Can't be skipping church to watch the Bills game to expect the favor of God. Had to throw that in there. Can't be walking around your house slamming doors, right, and expect the favor of God, right? Can't be holding back your tithe and expect the favor of God. Can't be out drinking and getting drunk with the buddies and expect the favor of God. Can't be having premarital sex and expect the favor of God. It's the uncompromisingly righteous. People with character integrity. So there. And if you're sitting, oh man, he didn't mention my situation, I'm safe. You'll surround him. God surrounds me with his goodwill, pleasure, and favor. Praise the Lord. You know, there's a scripture, and it just is coming to me. It's kind of in, can you bring up Psalm 16:11? Let's see if I got it right here. Little test on the spot. I'm pretty sure this is the verse I'm thinking for. Can you believe Psalm 16:11? You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand there are pleasures forevermore.
Amen.
Praise God. Sounds like favor to me. Now let's talk about what the favor of God will do. First of all, do you have the favor of God?
Yes.
Yep. Are you favored by him?
Yes.
This is talking about you.
Yes.
God didn't give you favor and to abide in that state, not to use it. And to have it. And so if he promised, if favor did something for somebody in the Bible, then it will do that for me.
Absolutely.
Go with me to Genesis chapter 6. Let's talk about Noah.
Yeah.
Now, I admit that none of you will more than likely be called to build a 450-foot ship and fill it with the animals of the world. You know, I'm pretty sure none of us in here have that calling. Though it's looking more and more like that they have found Noah's Ark. Did you realize that? Archaeologists have been digging up there on Mount Ararat for the past 20 years. And now it's starting to leak into the mainstream media now even that it is pretty undeniable that they have a 450-foot ship buried on the top of Mount Ararat. It is it fits the dimensions of the Bible perfectly. How else would you get a ship? Scientists predated the wood of it to 4,800 years ago. And it has three stories or three levels. And this, yeah. You can go look at it. Go Google it.
Yeah.
Not now. You can Google it yourself. You say, oh, no, someone's just making it up. No, even Fox News, NBC, and CNN have started to report on this, that they have found something very interestingly similar to what's described as Noah's Ark.
Yeah.
People say, well, that wasn't a literal event. Well, Jesus said it was.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah before the flood. He said, so will it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Jesus described it as a literal event. So it shouldn't surprise us that we found remnants of the ark. Genesis chapter 6, let's start in verse 5. It says this, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's talking about the heart of mankind, was evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. See, we have to remember that God is love. And since God is love, he has a great capacity to feel hurt when we don't follow him. And it was the same in those days. And in verse 7 it says, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. So notice judgment, a sentence of judgment has now been passed upon all the human race. And now it looks like it's all coming down for everybody, except read verse 8. Bring up verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Bring that up in the Amplified Bible. The word grace is also the word favor. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. So that which was scheduled to destroy everybody, favor stepped in, and it exempted Noah from the judgment that was coming upon the earth. Look at that. But Noah found favor. Out of all the people that were on the earth in those days, only one found favor. But notice, God didn't say, well, there's only one. We'll just let them. He said, no, favor would not allow God. God could not, with a good conscience, God would not destroy the man who had his favor. He was one out of millions. God said, I can't destroy everybody because there is one that has my favor. And therefore, he, what is going to destroy everybody else, he's going to ride on top of it. Whew. Praise the Lord. So look at the things that favor did for Noah. One, it spared him from judgment. The favor of God spared him from judgment. Notice that just because this world is wicked, just because this world is going to go through troublesome times, doesn't mean you have to be destroyed with it. You know, one of my favorite scriptures over there is Proverbs chapter 3. Oh, what is it? Verses 25 and 26, right? It says, do not be afraid of sudden fear when it comes, nor the desolation of the wicked, right? For the Lord shall be your confidence, and he will keep your foot from being taken. He said, don't be afraid when you see the wickedness of the world all around you. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of destruction on this earth, and don't think that that belongs to you. Listen, we need to know and understand right now and remind God we are in your favor. The favor upon the church of Jesus Christ, meaning, you know, all the born-again believers in this nation, is the only thing keeping this nation standing right now. The only reason why this nation has not been flushed down the toilet, has not literally faced the judgment of God, is because we are crying out for it. You hear in many of our services, Father, we thank you that judgment is withheld upon our land. Father, just remind you that you have favor for your church and we are here. Amen. In the same way, what sunk the rest of the world would not sink the man that had favor. I love that. And so he was spared from judgment. Here's the second thing. How many of you know that it wasn't just Noah that was spared? His family was spared. Think about how blessed your family and relatives are. They don't even know how that they sometimes live off the favor that's spilling off your life. Yeah. And of course, Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives were all spared, right? There was eight of them that were brought upon, but the Bible mentions because of Noah's favor.
Yes.
Noah's favor. I tell you what, that goes a long way for those of you that have children that maybe have grown up and they've gone maybe a little bit wayward. Listen, the favor of God on your life. You have an entrance with God. You have access. He has not forsaken you. Hallelujah. God spared Noah's entire family because the favor of God was upon him. Think about how you bring that. Father, you spared Noah and his family. How much more you will spare my child.
That's right. That's good.
Because you have placed favor upon me. You made me in the favor of God. So not only did Noah, was he spared from judgment, but it spared his family from destruction. All the time I hear stories of people and maybe something in their family, and maybe it's even people that don't go to this church. And it's not about this church. It's about just the principles of God. But, you know, I'm aware of the stories of this church. And so, you know, something will happen. And, you know, someone in their family will go through something. And I see so many times how the favor of God on that faithful believer goes out and reaches into their extended family. Listen, don't you give up on your loved ones. Don't give up on them, even if it looks like they're sinning bad. Listen, I tell you what, their lives are being spared and upheld because you've stayed faithful. Yeah. Think about how your marriage is being sustained because you have the favor of God. Now notice this, what else did favor do for Noah? He was chosen to rescue an entire world system. And let me just put it in more of our terms. He was given influence and he was chosen to lead. God is going to take and put his people in key positions of leadership, whether in business, whether in politics, in the church, in departments, wherever it is. He is going to put his people in key places of leadership and give them influence.
Yeah.
Listen, if there's anything you desire most from God, it should be influence.
Yes. Yeah.
Influence. I want influence. Sometimes it comes in interesting ways. I stopped over at a friend's house just recently, and this person isn't part of our church, just a friend growing up and things, and I had stopped over to the house, and someone in his extended family came to the door, and they had a beer in their hand. Okay, I don't care. Meaning, I'm not there to, hey, woo, you know what I mean? But it was funny. They come to the door, they open it up, and they stand there, and they see it's me. They're like, oh, hi. You know, and I just chuckled within myself as I was driving home. I kind of just chuckled, and I thought to myself, of course, first and foremost, my job, I'm not there to judge people's lives. I didn't think that person is wretched, and, you know, I wasn't thinking that. I'm thinking it made me laugh, you know, and sometimes people see the pastor, you know what I mean, but really it's Christ.
Yeah.
And the same thing, you know, is for you in your life where family members or whatever, like, oh, you know, oh, you come into the room and all of a sudden they start questioning their behavior. Why is that? Because Jesus in you just walked in the room. What is that? That's influence. That's influence. Say, oh my goodness, Pastor Tim, so you mean you want me to, everyone at my job to fear me and be scared of me when I come into, well, yeah. I'm kidding. But seriously, I mean, you've been there before, right? I'll tell you what, you know, if you walk into a situation and there's things going on there that don't bless and honor God, you know, and if they don't think twice, you know, meaning if they're comfortable to do those things around you, then maybe you're not living right. Oh, ouch. And I'm not talking about you come into a situation like, you heathen sinners. No. I don't think twice about when I'm in a situation like that, but all of a sudden I notice, you know, I walk in the room and people start scattering and hiding things.
Yeah.
And it's not just me, you've been there too. You know, you've been the 800-pound gorilla in the room before, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. Come on.
You know, I'm using that as a tongue-in-cheek example of what influence does. People see you, you know, you say, well, is that really scriptural? You know what, I think it is. And I think I'm going to find the verse right now. I'm just going to find the verse right here. While you look at me, while it seems awkward, I'm going to find it right now. Oh, I'm in the wrong book. Hold on. And so, I'm still looking. You having a good time here in church?
Yeah.
You like these awkward silences? Are you ready? Looking at it right now. There it is. Let's just read a few verses in Deuteronomy 28, verse 8. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and all that you set your hand unto. The Lord shall bless you in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish you a holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if you shall keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. I thought it was scriptural. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. What is that? It's just influence. God will put you in key places. And no, don't you dare. You know, I've heard a lot of believers, they'll be working with people and they'll say, Pastor, that guy that I was working with, he uses the F word all the time and I just can't handle it anymore. I'm going to tell him off. Why tell him off? He doesn't know Jesus. He doesn't know any better. The Bible says without Christ, the person is spiritually dead. And so they can't act alive if they're spiritually dead. You know what I mean? And I've used this example. You know, you can't expect a dead person to act alive. Don't expect an unbeliever to act righteous. They don't need your judgment. They need you to love them. They need you to forbear and be patient. Because I tell you what, you remember when you were lost? You remember what you did? I'm so grateful that people looked beyond my faults. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So he was given influence and chosen to lead. We need more believers with the favor of God, whether it's in government, whether it's in different departments of the church, whether it's in our schools, whether it's in politics or whatever. We need the people of God with his favor in those places. Amen. What do you think's going to pay for all these new churches? The favor of God. Amen. God doesn't place favor upon our lives just for us. He places favor on our life to move forward his plan on this earth. Glory to the Lord. All right. What else did favor do for Noah? He was protected from what destroyed everyone else. Aren't you glad? I want to bring up something because I think a lot of believers sometimes get confused. Can you bring up 1 Thessalonians 5:4? 1 Thessalonians 5:4. How many of you know that we are not called to the wrath of God?
Yeah, amen. Come on.
I'll just show you this. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness. That's not the verse. Go down to, try verse, keep going. We'll just read them all. Verse 5. Keep on going. There you go. Yeah, we could read this and have fun with it. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. My goodness, the church needs to hear that. Keep reading. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. I think what I'm trying to get to is verse 9. Go to verse 9. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. We are delivered from the wrath of God that is to come upon this earth. Aren't you glad? I am so glad. We are not called to judgment. We are not called to God's wrath. Amen. The favor of God. But here's the thing that we have to remember. Noah wasn't doing what everyone else was doing. Listen, you're going to have to not go the way of the world if you want to live in the favor of God. There's going to be a distinct difference between the church and the world. There's going to be a distinct difference between light and darkness. You can't live in darkness and expect the favor of God to work for you. Hallelujah. Go to Genesis 26. Amen. We're getting there. Real quickly, Genesis 26, verse 1. Oh, we're going to get real excited. What does the favor of God do for you financially? Uh-oh. He said the word finances in church. That's right. How many of you know that it took money to get you here today?
Sure did.
It absolutely did. How many of you are going to deal with money today or tomorrow and all this week? You're going to sit down and you're going to pay your bills, or you're going to receive a paycheck. You're going to deposit money in your bank. You're going to write checks. I mean, seriously, every single day we are buying things at the store. Money affects our life. Jesus said in Matthew 6:21, he says, where your heart is, your treasure will be also. Where your heart is where your money goes, or where your money goes, your heart goes. You know? And so if it affects our lives so much, then we better not shy away from it. And I'll tell you what, if we're going to fund the gospel all around the world, amen, we're going to need to see what God's favor does. You know, some people are really getting worried about this economy, really getting troubled by, you know, all the things that are going on in the economy, our national debt. And I'll tell you what, naturally speaking, they are a problem, but not for us. Let me show you. Genesis 26, 1. And it says, and there was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And this is going to talk about Abraham and his son Isaac. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto Isaac and said, go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. He said, sojourner, live in this land, and I will be with thee, and I will bless thee. Bring up verse 3 in the Amplified, just so you know what the word bless is there. He said, dwell temporarily in this land, and I will be with you and will favor you with blessings. You mean God's favor is going to work in the midst of a famine?
Yes.
How many of you know God just told Isaac to live in an economically depressed area? I've had people tell me, oh, God can't do anything good economically in Chautauqua County or Western New York. Yes, he can. He's waiting for God's people, right, to move with him. He said, live in this land, the land of famine. Notice it was not even the first famine. It was a second famine. The economy was really tanking, and now it's twice tanked. Everyone's moving out of there, said. They're all going down to Egypt. And Isaac was like, well, I better go to Egypt too because can't grow anything here. And God says, oh, wait. You stay where I called you. Because if I called you there, if I placed you there, I'm not going to let you go hungry. The idea isn't just to go where everyone else is going. The idea is to stay where God had planted you. He will bless you where he planted you. He said, live here in this land, and then I'll favor you with blessings. Yes, in a land of the famine. For to you and to your descendants I will give all these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father. Go over to verse 12 in the Amplified. It says, So Isaac decided to agree with God.
Yeah.
And he said, all right, well, I know the ground is parched and nothing's growing, but I'm going to do what God said, and I'm going to sow. Even no other farmer can grow anything in this place. He said, but I'm going to obey God. It says Isaac sowed seed in that land, the land of famine, the land of the economically depressed. Oh, glory to God. And he received in that same year 100 times as much as he had planted, and the Lord favored him with blessings. The question isn't what is the economy doing. The question is how much seed do you have in the ground? How much seed do you have in God's fields?
That's right. Amen.
Listen, the church need not go down with the earth's economy. Well, that went over well. Listen, the reason why so many Christians are broke, I'm going to make someone mad. Are you ready? The statistics are that only 8% of all of God's people in this earth tithe. 8%. The statistics also say that 90% of the church is basically broke or living week to week. Do you think there's a correlation? Because until the church honors God and does what God's word says concerning their finances, listen, we are to put God first in every way. Put God first in our time. Put God first in our effort. We have a wonderful opportunity, if you've ever been interested in serving in the church, Tuesday night. Amen. That's another grace. Giving is another grace. You know, the more you sow into God's kingdom, the more you'll reap. You know, what did Paul say over there, 2 Corinthians 9? He that sows sparingly shall reap sparingly. He said that about finances.
Oh, yeah.
You sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. But those that sow abundantly shall reap abundantly. Jesus said, Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over shall men pour into your bosom. You know? So Isaac, he listened to the plan of God and he sowed where no one could grow anything. And the economy could not stop the favor of God. Let me say that again, because this needs to be preached in an area that has been accused of being financially depressed for decades. Let's just say it again. The economy cannot and will not stop the favor of God. The fields of the world are dried up and parched, but the fields of God are always fruitful and full of harvest. The soil is always fertile in a place that is preaching God's word.
Amen.
Not just this church, but any church that will preach the uncompromised word. any ministry that is promoting the salvation of souls, the establishment of Christians in the local church. You know, I was at the gas station. I was coming home from North Carolina, and I was driving, and I was somewhere up in Virginia, somewhere around Fredericksburg, Virginia, and pulled into this gas station to fill up the truck, and I get out, and I'm just pumping gas. And how many of you know there's all these advertisements now on the gas pumps and stuff? And I look up, and there's this advertisement, and it was for a hospital, and it had a picture of a young girl on there that had been cured or something, of some kind of disease. And, you know, and it showed like a picture of like a hospital bracelet. And it said under it, it said, "Put your money where the miracles are." And I got my phone out and I took a picture of that. I said, "That'll preach."
Yes, it will.
That's absolutely right. Praise the Lord for giving to hospitals. Praise the Lord for giving to charitable things. But how much more should we support the place where souls are being saved, Christians are being established, marriages are being restored, bodies are being healed? And I just looked at that. I'm like, "God, that just spoke to me. Put your money where the miracles are. I don't want to put my money in all the things of the world. I want to put my money where God is working." Amen. And no, that's not a commercial for this church. If you have a church, maybe you're visiting from out of town, go back to that church. Be a blessing. The reason why the church has less and less influence, the church isn't tithing. Christians everywhere, they just give what they think. We dishonor God. You know, the Bible calls non-tithers thieves. Ouch. But stick around. You'll hear more about that at a later date. Praise the Lord. Favor caused Isaac's seeds to grow. When the world could not increase, God's favor increased his faithful man or woman. Praise the Lord. Go to Exodus chapter 3. Let's just take a little walk through the Bible, shall we? We're about ready to wrap this up. Exodus chapter 3. How many of you know that Israel was trapped in Egypt for 400 years? Remember the story of the Israelites? Remember how they were oppressed and they were made slaves in the land of Egypt?
Yes, that's right.
Okay? But God sent Moses to lead them out of there. And how many of you know it was favor? Watch what happens. Go to Exodus 3 in verse 21. And this is what God promises the Israelites. He says, "I'm getting you ready to leave." Remember, the 10 plagues had struck Egypt. Finally, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, said, "Get out of here." Remember? And so look at this. This is what God says in verse 21. He said, "And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians." Notice you don't just need favor with God. You need favor with people. Don't you need favor with your employer? How about favor with your spouse? Don't you need that? Yeah, that's absolutely right. That's correct. Say, "Well, that should just come automatically." It don't. You think you're just gonna, you know, be the superstar in the eyes of your spouse? You won't be. Say, "Well, we just got married and she really still thinks I'm something." Well, give it a couple months. Give it a couple months. She's gonna see what you look like in the morning. She's gonna see the mess you make at the bathroom sink.
Sure.
Yep. She's gonna, see all of your humanity and all the parts that aren't exactly the most pleasing. She's going to see everything, and after a little while, the novelty of it wears off. You know, my pastor, he has a saying like this: when the lust wears off, someone's got to do the dishes. Meaning when you're first married, oh, you're all attracted to each other. Woo! Yeah, well, you know what? Garbage day is coming.
Yeah.
You know? And then when kids come along, someone's got to change those diapers. Absolutely. Praise the Lord. And what is going to deliver you from that mundane existence? You need favor with your spouse.
Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord. You know, some people, you know, and we've heard it said, and we've said this, and we've all said this, man, it shouldn't have to take a move of God on my husband or upon my wife to get them to notice me. Well, let's just face it. Yes, it does. It is going to take a move of God, because if God doesn't move on them, it ain't ever going to happen. Praise the Lord. So he says, I'm going to give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and they shall, and it shall come to pass, and when you go, you shall not go empty, or literally the Amplified says empty-handed. He said, I'm going to call you out of Egypt, and when you go, you're not going empty-handed. Let me show you what he did. Go over to Exodus chapter 12, and when they finally left. Go to 12, 35, and 36. If the word does not excite you, take your spiritual pulse and make sure you're born again. Because you're getting fed the word here. Like I said, it's not a gimmick church. I'm not going to put a sports car up on the platform to make the church look cooler. They're doing that all over the place. Ooh, sports car. This isn't The Price is Right. This isn't Let's Make a Deal. A new car. Exodus 12, 35. The word. Praise the Lord. Look at 12, 35. Oh, I'm finding it here. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. That means clothing, gold, and silver. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. Let me read this in the Amplified, because when it says borrowed, it kind of gives this idea that the Israelites are going to give it back. It's not. Go to, there, you're already ready. Wow. The Israelites did according to the word of Moses, and they urgently asked of the Egyptians jewels of silver and of gold and clothing. Verse 36. The Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they gave them what they asked, and they stripped the Egyptians of those things. Whoa! How about bring up Psalm 105, verse 37. It's another reference to this. When the Israelites left Egypt, notice the Egyptians. The wealth of the world is laid up for the? For the just. Doesn't that sound like it? The favor of God. They, the Egyptians just came to them. And if you read all of chapter 12, it was the Egyptians' idea. Right. They said, hey, we want to give you silver and gold. And they went to Moses and said, Moses, should we do that? He said, yeah, do it.
Yeah.
It says, and he, God, brought Israel forth out of Egypt with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. The favor of God. If God called you to do something, he's going to pay for it too.
Yes. Amen. Good word.
Listen, he's going to pay for it.
That's right.
If you are led to be in that business, he's going to pay for it.
Amen.
Listen, if you stay faithful in your company, I don't care if you seem to be at the bottom. Listen, there's no level of education that can give you what favor can. So many people say, but I'm not qualified. Well, in the favor of God, you are. You wait and watch as God will elevate his faithful man or woman, even when you don't have the qualifications of the world. Say, well, they just don't give divorced young mothers those kind of jobs. They do in the favor of God. Listen, when I got my first teaching job, I went up against 200 applicants, all of which were more qualified than me. I got the job. I asked the principal a few months later, I said, why did you hire me in the first place? And his literal words to me verbatim were, Tim, you know what? I don't know. I just knew on the inside I was supposed to. And you know what? He said, and it wasn't because you did such an excellent job in the interview. Thanks, principal.
Yeah, yeah. That's good to hear.
I'm like, yeah, probably not, you know? But I, the whole time, what am I thinking? Favor. 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 When everyone else gets unnoticed, you're going to get noticed.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Say, well, what if I, what do we do with this? How does this work? First of all, you got to be living right.
Yes.
But second of all, you have to believe this.
Yes.
Some people say, well, it's just arrogant to tell God I'm his favorite. No, it's not. He wants you to believe in his favor.
Yes.
The Bible says over there in 1 John 4:16, it says, we have known and believed the love that God has for us. We're to believe how loved we are.
Amen.
We are to believe how we are his favored.
Yes.
Amen. So what does that look like? It comes out of your mouth. I'm the favorite of God.
Yeah.
Why do we say all the time around here, I'm highly loved, highly favored, highly blessed? Is that, am I just trying to work some church slogan? No. I'm trying to work your faith.
Yes.
Where you start to believe God is going to do it.
Amen.
God is going to meet my need. He is going to defend me. He's going to protect me. He's going to surround me with his favor. I will not be in the judgment. The economy can't bring me down because I'm in the favor of God.
That's right.
And the wealth of the world is laid up for the just.
That's right.
You're not going to go broke in this life. No, it doesn't mean that God's going to make every believer a millionaire. But he's going to make sure you have a full supply. A full supply. And let's just end on this. Are you ready? Let's look at this in the New Testament. John chapter 1, verse 14 in the Amplified. Oh my goodness, it's 5 after. Well, I'm hurrying. I know, I say comments all the time at the end of the service. Every time I tell myself I'm not going to joke about it, I end up doing it. Say, Pastor Tim, you must be insecure about that going past noon. Honestly, I'm really not. John 1, verse 14, and the Word, Christ, became flesh, human, incarnate, and tabernacled, fixed his tent of flesh, lived a while among us, and we actually saw his glory, his honor, his majesty, such glory as an only begotten Son receives from his Father, full of grace, favor, loving kindness, and truth. You ever wondered why Jesus was so radically different on this earth? Because he walked around with God's full favor. Why did miracles happen? Favor. The blessing of God. Look at verse 16 now. Go to verse 16 in the Amplified. And we'll end here. For out of his fullness, his abundance, we have all received. We have received out of his abundance. All had a share, and we were all supplied with one grace after another, and spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, and even favor upon favor, gift heaped upon gift. If your countenance has not changed today, if you walk out of here sad, it is not my fault and it's not God's fault. You read the scripture earlier where it says your job is to rejoice in it.
That's right.
He put one spiritual blessing upon another. Now, what I want you to do, instead of just acting like this favor is just something that's going to change your future, look back now and start to see all the places where his favor made a difference. Start looking back where his favor made a difference. Oh my goodness, I see God's favor here. Listen, do you realize that you've been protected and kept safe from things that you never even knew about? Times when it just looked like there was no way you're going to get out of that thing. And you did. And he brought you through. And listen, now you have hope for everything. There's hope for your health. There's hope for your mental health. There's hope for your finances. There's hope for your marriage. There's hope for your children. Every single bit where I dare you. Here's your assignment, okay? Here's your homework. Go before God. The next time you pray, go before him. Say, Father, I am favored.
Amen.
I'm favored of the Lord. I'm highly blessed. You love me with an inexplicable love. Now, this love does not give you the license to continue in your sin. That's the message that is being tried to pervert the Bible. This extreme grace message that says this love is excuses you from your sin. Wrong. This love encourages you never to sin again. God's goodness is so good. Why would I want to hurt his heart? Since he heaped gift upon gift, favor upon favor, blessing upon blessing, why would I want to do that which would hurt him? That's what grace does. It doesn't excuse your sin. It gives you something to look at to motivate you out of it. Did you get something out of this today? Praise the Lord.